7:15. It was a sad day yesterday in the Dome, but it was a thrilling night in Baton Rouge Saturday night. It was a long night in Baton Rouge, but I'm going to tell you what, Jeff Palermo, how about them Tigers, huh?
What a ball game, Tommy. What a game.
Tell me, I don't even know where to start with this. I guess, you know, there are so many things that could have changed the game. Maybe if, what's the receiver's name, Tim? Trey Harris doesn't drop that ball on the second play of the game. Maybe
yes.
Things turn around.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. And Tim brought this point up, which is a good one. Maybe if Whit Weeks gets ejected, maybe Tigers don't win because this guy had what 18 tackles, which is
18
crazy.
Tackles. Yeah. And there was a spot in the game for those that don't remember or didn't see the game. There was a spot in the game where Whit Weeks was facing an ejection for a targeting penalty, a helmet to helmet hit that. Thank goodness for LSU. It did not go against them after they looked at it on instant replay. They determined that the quarterback, Jackson Dart, was going down. Therefore, Whit Weeks' helmet went down, and it was still helmet-to-helmet contact, but they didn't consider it malicious or intentional. So he stayed in the game and had a career night, 18 tackles. LSU's defense, I thought, was just fantastic. To me, that was the story of the game. I mean, the touchdown pass between Garrett Nussmeier and Kyren Lacy is another legendary play. You'll see that when you think about all the great highlights in Tiger Stadium. That one is going to go in there with so many of the other great touchdown passes that have taken place over the 100 years of that stadium. But it really was the LSU defense that kept them in the game until the offense can finally get on track. What a huge drive at the end of regulation by Garrett Nussmeier, converting a couple times on fourth down to get the ball into the end zone. And then on the first play of overtime, LSU decides to win it with the touchdown pass to Kyren Lacy. But the six sacks on Jackson Dart. How about the in the red zone? Ole Miss just goes three of six. Not three of six as far as scoring touchdowns once getting into the red zone, but they only had three scores out of the six. So that was, to me, the big key in this game.
Yeah, Zay Alexander had a great game.
Yes.
Ashton Stamps had a good game.
Well, actually, Zay Alexander got the game ball. Mm. How about that? If you look at the Pro Football Focus ratings, Zay Alexander graded the highest out of any defensive player on LSU's team. Whit Weeks was two, but Zay Alexander was huge. He was coming back from a concussion. He's only played in a couple of games this season as he was returning from an ACL, so he wasn't there for the USC game. And he was a difference maker. I don't know if Trey Harris was 100%. He's the star wide receiver for Ole Miss. He did have a touchdown catch in the game, a terrific play to make up for that drop pass that he had earlier in the game. But the fact that LSU's corners played as well as they did, Ashton Stamps and Zay Alexander, I mean, it's part of the reason why LSU didn't give up 55 points this time around and 706 yards of offense. The LSU defensive secondary played really well, and Brian Kelly was true to his word. He said it after the South Alabama game that they were going to find three guys that as far as to play that safety positions, and they were going to go with those three guys. And Jarden Gilbert, Sage Ryan, and Major Burns played 95% of the snaps on defense. So they went with those three guys along with Stamps and Alexander at cornerback. And I thought those guys, once again, played great. It wasn't perfect. I mean, there was a 50-yard touchdown run in there, and Ole Miss moved the ball quite well. But again, it was kind of a bend but don't break style of defense, and it really paid off. And then in overtime, I mean, Ole Miss was back to, I mean, they had a kick a 57-yard field goal, and somehow they made it, but still, that was terrific what LSU's defense did.
And to be clear, I'm not saying that LSU won because of Ole Miss's mistakes or anything like that. Because, look, let's face it, Garrett Nussmeier did have some times where he was not playing his best.
No, I mean, he completed less than 50% of his passes. And in today's day and age of football, and when you're completing less than 50% of your passes, and LSU really didn't have a running game in this contest. Mm-hmm. They never were able to get Caden Durham or Josh Williams on track. A couple of decent runs, but most of the – and there were times that I thought that they were just bailing out on the run game. They just like, you know what, it's not happening. And then Nussmeier, who did have time to throw, one of our concerns going into the game, and I wrote about it at WWL.com, was Ole Miss came into that contest leading the nation in sacks with 24. The Rebels had zero sacks in that game. I mean, Nussmeier had time to throw. He just wasn't hitting his receivers. But, man, when he needed to make some plays, he did. And I said it after the USC game, and a lot of LSU fans were disappointed. And my two big takeaways from that game is, going back to USC, is that the defense is better than it was a year ago, and you'll always have a chance to win football games with Garrett Nussmeier as your quarterback. And we saw that play out against South Carolina, and again, we saw that play out again here with, even though LSU falls behind by double digits in both games, Nussmeier is able to stay the course, stay patient in there, and eventually deliver the big passes that they needed to get delivered. I mean, some of that touchdown pass to Aaron Anderson, he throws three quarters. A three-quarter delivery to Anderson, and he zips it in there. I mean, that's NFL stuff, what you saw out of Nussmeier. And Brian Kelly said it afterwards. It was his biggest growth that he's had in a single game during his time at LSU was in that game. And I'm sure Garrett Nussmeier learned a lot about himself, too, in that game.
What I think is so encouraging is that they are improving week to week.
Yes,
they
are.
And going in the right direction. All right, Jeff Palermo, we'll pick it up. We come back and we'll talk about what Brian Kelly had to say about the decision not to go for two. I thought it was interesting after the game when he was talking to the ABC reporter. He probably said the same thing to Gordy Rush. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, 722, Traffic Now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. You go to WWL.com, they got a great column, a great story from him about the LSU game. So when it comes to the two-point conversion, I got to admit, I was screaming, go for it, end this thing, end it. But Brian Kelly had some interesting things to say after, I presume he told Gordy Rush the same thing about why he decided to go for two, he decided to not go for two.
Well, I think you got to also go back in time here a little bit, because in 2022, when LSU beat Alabama, they decided to go for two once they had the opportunity and they were able to connect. But he felt like his team had battled. And again, they did, the only time they took the lead in this game was when Kyron Lacy scored the winning touchdown pass. I mean, think about it. They were trailing the entire game. They got down 10-0. And he felt that his team had battled so hard to get back, he didn't want to put it all on one play to determine whether to win or lose. So give Brian Kelly credit there. He went with, I mean, maybe the analytics tell you to do something different. Because what I was thinking as LSU was marching down the field there on that final touchdown drive, or on the game-tying touchdown drive, was that was a long drive. Ole Miss's defense was on the field for a long time. So part of your thinking is, hey, that Ole Miss team is a little tired, dejected after allowing two conversions on fourth down. Why don't you try to strike now while the iron is hot? But Brian Kelly looked at it a little differently, saying, hey, we have battled in this game. We have stuck with it. Let's not put all our chips in the middle of the table right here. Let's go into overtime. Let's see what happens. LSU's defense is playing well, especially when Ole Miss gets in the red zone. Maybe we can hold them to a field goal, and that's exactly what happened.
You know what I heard him tell Molly McGrath was that we felt as though we, and the same thing that you just said, basically, we wanted to give our team played hard. We wanted to give them a chance to win it. I interpreted that as the defense. It's like, you know what?
Yes.
The defense played hard. I'm going to show them I got confidence in them. I'm going to give them a chance to win this game. And I think that says a lot going forward. You?
Well, it's just it's a huge turnaround from where it was a season ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talked about it in my article. You, 706 total yards last year, the 55 points, the 34 missed tackles. Mm-hmm. It's what led to a complete overhaul of the defensive coaching staff last year. And it really was Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy that year, but the signature game of that season was that was the Ole Miss loss in late September, because it set the stage for the rest of the year that LSU's defense was no good and there was no chance. Remember, they had to bring Pete Jenkins out of retirement and bring him up to LSU to teach the defensive linemen where to line up. I mean, it was that bad. And to see where they've come, and again, as I mentioned in the last segment, far from perfect. This is not a top 25 defense in the country or anything like that.
But they're getting better.
They are getting better. They could put pressure on the quarterback. Braden Swinson is a Mike Dottiglia knows more about this than I do, but he looks like a first-round pick to me. I mean, he's got over seven sacks on the season. Whit Weeks has just flourished. We talked about Zy Alexander, Ashton Stamps. There's Greg Penn, the glue of the defense, as Brian Kelly called him. I mean, there's just a lot more to work with this defense compared to a year ago, but still a long way to go here. Two tough road games coming up at Arkansas and A&M.
But I see no evidence, no indication at all that LSU is going to take anybody or anything for granted and that they're not going to do anything but continue to work hard and improve. Thoughts?
No doubt about that. But we've seen it in college football. Anybody can beat anybody here over these next few weeks. So would not be surprised, Tommy. I'm not trying to damper anybody's spirits. Would not be surprised that LSU splits these two road games coming up. Win-loss, loss-win, either way, against A&M and Arkansas.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, as always. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Quick break. We come back. We're going to take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, here on WWL.